Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. And while you're turning there, I want to give a little bit of background information. We'll be looking at chapter 15. And so, before and after this, we'll find Jesus as he's entering into his last few hours with his disciples. And as they're leaving the upper room, they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will pray his great high priestly prayer. And then he'll later be arrested by the mob led by Judas Iscariot. So somewhere along this route, going from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, we'll find Jesus is, he could be passing by a vineyard, and he used it as a visible illustration. Or as he's going past the temple, that he looked up and saw the golden vines hanging down from the gates. But whatever the case is, we find Jesus as he's entering into his last few hours, he's instructing his disciples that they must abide in him to bear fruit for God's glory, just as God wants us to abide in him to bear fruit for his glory. So, if you found John chapter 15, I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let us pray and ask God's blessing on this part of the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that you'll open up our hearts to be receptive to your word. I ask that you'll give me the special anointing that I need, because I can't preach without you. I can't do it on my own. And we ask that you'll just be with us through the remainder of this service. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the first thing I want to look at is what each part of this illustration represents. First, we have the true vine, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice in verse 1 that he did not say that I am a vine or I am the vine, but he said that I am the true vine. He was setting himself apart from just a generic good or bad vine by saying that he is the only vine. Oftentimes, we can put other things as our vine, such as our bank account, our possessions, our popularity, or anything else that will take the place of Christ. But as we will see, we cannot hang on to both Jesus and the things of the world, but we have to make a clear choice to abide in Jesus, the true vine, if we are to bear fruit for God's glory. Then we have the husbandman, who represents God. He is the one who is in charge of making sure the vine will produce more fruit. He is in supreme control of the whole process. He's like the boss who fires his employees who are not being productive so that the company can continue to grow and develop and be more productive. And then we have the branches, which is us, the believers in Christ. The branches are connected to the vine and rely upon it to provide the nourishment needed to produce fruit. There are basically two types of branches. There's those which bear fruit, and then there's those which bear no fruit. So who are those who bear fruit? In verse 3, it says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." So those who bear fruit are clean. Now, that doesn't mean we have to shower twice a day, or brush our teeth three times, or be continually washing our hands, because the word clean is not referring to a physical cleanness or an outward cleansing, but an inward cleansing. One who has been saved and is right with God. If you turn back just a few pages to John chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus says, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." Jesus said this when they were in the upper room, and he was washing the disciples' feet, because he knew that Judas was not saved, and yet he had heard the same words as the other disciples. He still chose to betray Christ. So we're not saved by just hearing the words of Jesus, but we have to believe them and obey them in order to be saved. We can't just be imitators and fool God, because he knows what's on the inside. He knows what's in our hearts. And he knows if we're clean or not. So if we're to be branches that bear much fruit, then we have to be serious about following Jesus. And this brings me to my second point, the process of bearing fruit. We find the husbandman does two things to maximize fruit production. In the winter, he'll cut off the dry and withered branches, which may involve pruning the vines so that only the stalk remains. Now, when I first read this, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. You just cut off a few branches and then let it regrow in the spring. But as I looked into it, I realized that vines are capable of growing over 20 feet in length. So when the husbandman is pruning the vines, he's actually cutting off about 18 feet. And so there's only a couple of feet remaining on the vine. Now, cutting most of the vine in order for it to regrow and produce twice as much fruit seems kind of the opposite of what we'd normally think. You would think that if it keeps getting cut back, then it wouldn't grow or produce as much fruit. But if you don't cut it back, then most of the energy would be produced or be put towards growing the vine and not the fruit, which is the only purpose of the vine. Now, it's God's job as the husbandman to prune us, to cut away the branches in our lives that aren't producing fruit, so that we can produce more fruit for his glory. Oftentimes, this pruning process can be painful and causes discomfort. Would a God who really loves us do anything to us that would cause us pain or discomfort? And the answer is yes. Those of you who are parents can probably relate quite well to this. And how many times have you done something out of love for your child that they might perceive as painful or unpleasant, such as taking away their privileges, or making them do chores, or disciplining them, or perhaps making them continue to learn how to play an instrument after the newness wears off? And I'm sure as parents, you can think of many more things. But throughout all this, as you're raising your child, are you more concerned with their immediate feelings or their long-term development? You see, it's not that pruning is bad, but it is for our good. A good, healthy vine requires pruning so it can bear more fruit abundantly, just as disciplining a child can produce good behavior. So as James also tells us in James 1 that through our trials, our faith will become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. As it is with pruning, we will be able to bear more fruit and bring glory to God as our dead branches and those which aren't bearing fruit are cut off. So what are some unfruitful branches that will get pruned from our lives? Well, first we have to define what bearing fruit is in a Christian life. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So fruit represents everything that is the product of effective prayer in Jesus' name, including obedience to Jesus' commands, the experience of Jesus' joy, love for one another, and witnessing to the world. The fruit produced is not the work of the branches, but it is the effect of the true vine and husbandman, Jesus and God working through us, the branches. So some of the unfruitful branches that will get pruned from our lives are those things that take up more of our time and energy and restrict us from producing fruit. One of these branches in my own life that had to be pruned was video games. I used to spend most of my spare time playing them, but there came a point in my life where I had to cut back and quit playing them so much so that I could focus on producing fruit. Perhaps you have some things in your lives that need to be pruned, that God wants you to cut back and not spend so much time doing. Now, I'm not saying that you have to completely cut something out of your life, although God may require you to do that so that you can produce more fruit for God, and because He wants us to abide in Him and bear fruit for His glory. Now, the next part of this process of bearing fruit is that we have to abide in Jesus. We have to be connected to the true vine. As it says in verses 4 and 5, that we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in Him, for without Him we can't do anything. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abides in the vine, neither can we as believers bear fruit if we are not abiding in Jesus. So how do we abide in Him? According to 1 John 2:6, we are to walk as He walked. And so to do that, we have to look at Christ's life and imitate how He lived and acted. And as we do, we will become more like Christ. But since we can't see Him or watch Him in person, then we have to go to His Word to learn about Him. And in doing so, we can live like Him. In verse 7 of our text, or the first part of it, it says, "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you," meaning that for His words to abide in us, we have to read, meditate, study, and memorize God's Word so that we can grow in our relationship with Christ. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." And God also told Joshua in Joshua 1:8 that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Therefore, it is our duty as Christians to hide God's word in our heart, so that we will know how to walk as He walked, and talk as He talked, and keep ourselves from sin. And in doing so, we will abide in Him and be able to produce fruit for God's glory. But then, what about those who seem highly successful, but they don't abide in Christ? As the latter part of verse 5 says, "For without Me, ye can do nothing." But yet we see sports players and actors and singers who are out there in the world and they're making millions. And the list could just go on and on of the people who seem to have everything. So you may be sitting there wondering, well, if we can't do anything without Jesus, why do these people seem to have everything? Well, the reason is because Jesus is not referring to things here on the earth, but He is referring to the spiritual kingdom in which we cannot do anything apart from Him. It's only through Christ that we have access to the Father. It's only by His grace that we are saved. It's only through Christ that we can produce fruit that will glorify God. We can't do any of this on our own, but we have to depend upon Jesus, the true vine. And then we have the consequences of not abiding in Christ. Verse 6 says, "If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." The branches of a vine that don't bear fruit are useless. They're too soft to be used for anything, and so they're just cut off, gathered together, and burned. And if we don't abide in Christ, the true vine, we too will be cast away. The branches only have two functions, to either bear fruit or not to bear fruit, just as we have two choices, to either be fruitful for God or be cast away into the everlasting fire. Now, my third and final point is the promise to those who abide in Christ and bear fruit for God's glory. Now, verse 7 says, "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Jesus says this several times throughout His ministry, that whatever you ask in His name will be done, so that God will be glorified. Now, 1 John 5:14 says that we can have confidence in Him, knowing that if we ask anything according to His will, then He will hear us. Now, a lot of people try to take this verse and use it to say that if they ask for money or a nice car or a big house, then God would have to give it to them. But that's not the case. Just because we ask God for something doesn't mean He will give it to us, because He knows what is best for us. As one scholar sums it up well when he said, "If someone is abiding in Jesus, it would be virtually impossible to pray in any other way than that of representing the nature of Jesus." And then a second promise is that we bring the Father glory by bearing fruit. verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." The ultimate goal of our lives as believers is to bring God glory. And one way we can do this is by following what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When people around us see our good works, see that we dress modestly and we don't use some of the words that the world uses, then God is glorified by the example we're setting, because we cannot bear fruit or glorify the Father on our own, but we have to abide in the true vine, Jesus Christ. And now, as we close this morning, we find Jesus, he is spending his last few hours with his disciples, emphasizing the importance of abiding in him, the true vine. You know, he could have spent this time talking about politics or sports or any other thing that was going on, but instead, he was making it clear with this illustration of the vine and branch that we have to completely depend upon him to bear fruit for God's glory. We have to be a part of his vine, the only true vine, not a part of the world's vines. And anything that hinders us from producing fruit needs to be cut out of our lives so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with Christ and bear more fruit. Because in the end, that's what God wants. He wants us to abide in him and produce much fruit for his glory. So would you stand with me as we close this morning?